Welcome to Shooting with Jamie K. My name is Jamie Corrales, and here we are, episode 97. And this is going to be a landmark episode for the show. Probably the biggest guest to date. But you know what? I'll introduce him right now. Kenny Dorsley is here. Oh, my God.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, my niggas?
Well, yeah, Kenny's here. Actually, but no, he is not the guest. He is he's co-host for this episode.
Yeah, you guys are stuck with me, bro.
Yeah, probably more frequently now. More on that later. Anyway, so we have on the show today an icon, a legend. We have Chris Hansen of NBC's To Catch a Predator here to promote his new series, Hansen vs. Predator. And I am absolutely stoked to be able to release this interview. I think it went really well. What do you think, Kenny?
Dude, I have so many. It went well?
Are we doing this like we didn't just perform the interview?
I thought that was.
Okay, let's redo that then. This interview is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm about to get me some pointers on my baby girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're going to be talking to him momentarily, and that should be fun. So, Kenny, it's been a while, as in maybe about 2 weeks since you've been on the show. What's going on? What's new? You okay? You healthy?
Lame-ass director, man, forgot to save his movies on different hard drives and shit, so I had to reshoot my scene and stuff on Practice Make Perfect.
Let's just...
I'm just playing. It was pretty good. I got to meet up with some old friends. Not really old friends, but like...
acquaintances. People you're familiar with.
Yeah, familiar with. I like Mike. Mike's cool. But yeah, people I'm familiar with. So like, that was good.
Again, we were reshooting some stuff and we were filming new scenes for the movie to make it a more whole viewing experience when it eventually is released in spring 2016. So we got that out of the way. And there was also a cookout, which Kenny was unfortunately not present for. But good pal Gary was there.
Good old Gary.
Mike was there. A couple of Amy's friends had shown up just to make the female ratio a bit higher than it maybe would have been otherwise. Old Pally Wally Zach Bernard was present. Zach's a good guy.
Yeah, I like Zach.
Zach's cool. A very cool guy. Kenny's just got a picture of Chris Hansen saying, "Why don't you have a seat over there?" on his phone. You should make that your wallpaper.
This guy, like, honestly, would have probably never known about a pedophile. Unless, like, he said something. Because, like, ain't nobody paying attention to the outside world. You listen to your mom. She say, don't ride with strangers. You don't ride with strangers. Plain and simple. But she didn't say don't talk to people on chat rooms. Because she wasn't paying attention to the chat rooms. So.
Or the chat roulette.
Yeah. So, Mr. Henson got that out of the way for me. So, you know what to look out for. Some creepy ass motherfuckers be trying you. You don't talk to people on the internet either. You don't know who they are.
One thing that I think his show did bring to light was the fact that it could be anybody.
Anybody.
Like you, when you think of like a sex offender, in your mind, you got like this creepy guy in a beige jacket, late 50s, early 60s, maybe a creepy mustache.
Like,
you know?
Henson said, in the basement with a bunch of boxes of pizza.
I'm sure there are guys like that out there, but what his show did was also expose like the 28-year-old gamer or whatever who's coming to pick up a 14-year-old girl because he's a pervert just as well.
He wanted to show her his new joystick. Like, nigga, what the fuck are you saying? Get the fuck out of here.
They are bringing a sequel series into the mix, Hansen vs. Predator. And I guess what the idea is with this one is that they're going to update it for the current internet landscape. But, you know, we'll get into that more with the interview. What else has been going on with you? How's the kid? How's the family?
The baby's fine. She's good. She's sitting up.
You know, the last time we checked in with you, she had very unpleasant diarrhea.
Hot butt mud?
Yes.
Yeah.
So much so that she had to go get checked out by a doctor.
Yeah, it came back, dude. It's weird. Like, for 1 week, she'll be fine. The next week, she'll be constipated. And then the next week, it'll be hot butt mud. And I'm just like, that's weird. But, okay, maybe she'll even herself out. But
I wonder if that's normal. That seems...
I don't know. The nurse said it was a virus.
Oh, that ain't good.
Yeah, but a virus is better than, like, a disease or something. That's what she said.
Well, yeah, no doubt. You don't want to be stuck with, like, a fucking... baby with irritable bowel syndrome or something.
That would suck. But yeah, she's fine now. Like, I changed her diaper today and like it was still a little watery. I know we're talking about diarrhea from a kid, but
no, it's good audio. It's great.
It's my child, damn it.
People are compelled.
But no. Yeah, it's like it's not too watery now. It's more thicker now than it was before.
Well,
yeah.
Amy and I have been talking about potentially bringing a new life into our home.
Another cat?
Oh, yeah, you killed my punchline. No, we're talking about a dog. We want to get a dog.
Yeah. Please, not like a little JJ.
I'm ready
not
for
JJ.
An actual, like, big, like, maybe like a Labrador would be nice. Something, you know, sizable. Because all my life, whenever I've had dogs, I've had a poodle, I've had a Maltese. You know, they've been very small dogs.
I could see you with a Doberman.
A Doberman?
Yeah.
That's been talked about.
Yeah.
Doberman's been talked about.
A Doberman or like a Rottweiler.
She's kind of hung up on a Papillon, which is not a big dog, but yeah, a Papillon.
Okay, how about this? She got the Papillon, you get a pit bull. Boom.
But then we have four animals in the house. That's kind of it's overpopulation.
You have four.
One of them's got to go.
How old is your cat?
Midnight is about 15 years old,
yeah.
Or he will be 15 this year. Cleo, I think, is 13 months.
Dude, freaking.
So we got elderly, and we've got infant.
Like, Lizzie's cat, Bossy, same age, dude. This nigga be like...
Just hanging on.
He's a little bastard.
Is he active, though? Like, what does he do?
Oh, dude, he does anything he can get his fucking mitts on, dude. Freaking... You put the laser pointer out, then
ham. My cats go crazy about that, too. That and the catnip are the only two things that will get Midnight active. Because he's, not only is he elderly, but he is obese. He is a fat fuck. So he sleeps most of the day.
He'll go
and eat. He'll have his food. And then at night, since, you know, he slept all day, he'll just wake us up at like 2 in the morning, go, wow. You'll hear it during the podcast. It happened during the Hutchcast, and I just had to roll with it. And he knocks his water bowl, like he throws a tantrum because we're not awake to do whatever it is he wants us to do. Usually pet him.
Yeah, cats are demanding.
He's a prick is what he is.
If you can get another dog like JJ, that'd be cool.
He was a mean fuck.
Yeah, but...
He was completely unaware of his size.
He was a Napoleon fucking OG complex dog.
Yeah.
And then Bella came through trying to be like...
She was the exact opposite.
Copycat, fucking running away every time you got close to her and shit.
Well, here's the deal with her, okay? She's just like JJ in that when she first sees somebody, she will be, you know, scrappy a little bit. But then immediately she's just like, okay, please don't hurt me. All right, I give up.
Like, I'm done. You win. Don't look at me.
JJ was like fight to the death.
Dude,
but she's very...
It's like, submissive. You know how most dogs are, right? Like, they see you for the first time and they're like, all right, you're cool. And then that's the end of it. They don't bark anymore. With JJ, it's just like...
No, I'm never letting this down.
I'm gonna fuck this motherfucker up. And then Bella is just like, run down the hall. Come back. Run down the hall again.
Yeah, and keep in mind, people, JJ was a 3-pound teacup poodle. He was microscopic. Nothing to be afraid of.
He was a good dog, though.
Yeah, he was. He had his charm. He had his wits about him. Definitely. Well, I think it's time to call up Chris Hansen.
Yeah, let's do this shit.
Wink, wink. Alright, let's just play this fucking interview. Chris Hansen of Hansen vs. Predator, and, you know, famously, To Catch a Predator. Chris, how's it going today?
I'm good, Jamie. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Happy to be talking to you.
Nice to be here.
All right, so why don't we get right into things. Hansen vs. Predator. Now, just to clarify, this is not the highly awaited follow-up to Alien vs. Predator, right?
Well, you never know. Depends who walks into one of our investigations, you know? It could be.
Yeah, who knows?
That'd be cool.
So it's been a while since To Catch a Predator. It feels like it's been, you know, quite a few years. Why was this the right time to put forth a follow-up series?
Well, I think it was the right time on a number of different levels. First off, I mean, the question that I am asked most on social media is, when are you going to do another Predator investigation? The danger is still out there. We see it anecdotally. We're signing a petition. You need to do it. So I'm listening to the people I communicate with, social media. Second, you got to remember, when we did our first investigations, we merely used chat rooms in Yahoo and AOL. I mean, today, it's a completely new frontier with Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram and, you know, interactive gaming, Kick, people on Craigslist and Backdate. So it's all different. And our technology has improved in terms of actually data mining and finding out more about these guys before they actually show up at our house. So for all those reasons, you know, I just felt the time was right to go out and do more investigating.
Yeah, I was about to say that the series seemed to be kind of ahead of its time in a way. You know, it was before social media really took off. So even though it's a more transparent platform on paper, it's also easier to get in contact with people. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that kind of varies the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, imagine when we first did it, I mean, people were communicating pretty much only on desktops and laptops. Now everybody's got a smartphone. Everybody's reachable digitally. 24/7. So it creates a lot of opportunity for communication and some of it dangerous communication.
Yeah. Dangerous. You know, I can't imagine that anyone really pictured something like this for a subject of a series becoming a cultural landmark. You know, it kind of turned into like even a meme for a while. You know, you'd see soundboards, comedy skits. Well,
you still do. I mean, remember, you know, the last original investigation aired in late 2008, but you know, they continue to run for years.
Yeah.
In updated versions, expanded versions, marathon versions, they ran overseas. I mean, you know, you can still watch them online. And so it really, for a lot of different reasons, became somewhat of a, you know, cultural phenomenon. And I think partly because nobody had taken viewers inside this world before. Nobody had actually confronted guys committing this crime before. And obviously, you know, there are some iconic elements to this. You know, kids in college would start playing a drinking game where they take a shot of beer every time. I said, I'm Chris Hansen. I don't know if I'm proud of that or not, but
yeah,
that sort of thing happened. And all of a sudden, you know, my two boys who grew up with father on television their whole lives don't think anything of it. Suddenly I'm being parodied on South Park. Yeah. I'm a rock star to these guys now, you know, and all their friends. So, you know, I didn't predict it. I knew when we shot the first investigation, it was going to be very compelling. It would get a lot of attention. But I figured we'd do it two or three times, and you know, I'd be getting to a place at some point where I'd be sitting on the kitchen counter like the Maytag repairman. But you know, it kept going and going and going. Even, you know, after it became so popular, I remember an investigation in New Jersey where a guy walks in, he puts his marijuana on the counter, I walk in to approach him, and before I can say anything, he says, "Oh, you're Chris Hansen." I said, "Well, how did you know that?" He said, "I watched the episodes all the time before I listened to them. I downloaded them on the internet."
Oh,
like,
my God.
You didn't get the trouble you just walked into.
God, yeah. I also wondered if this, you know, kind of oversaturation, like becoming familiar with the show and yourself, might have, you know, wisened some people up a little bit. Like, I wondered if that may have been a reason for the break as well.
Well, you know, we didn't experience that so much. I think, you know, that was part of the thinking behind it. And really, you know, we were continuing to create awareness and a dialogue with the reruns and the updates. And also, you know, the lesson of that show is that, you know, enterprise techniques and good solid investigations and being creative in them works every time. So, you know, I wanted to do a lot of different topics as well. And it always did. I remember, although it got most of the attention, I mean, the Predator shows were probably, you know, 10-20% of what I ever did at the network. So, you know, but applying those tactics to other topics, whether it's financial predators or whether it's scammers on Craigslist or what have you, works every time. It's a great way to tell a story. So that's, you know, I think that's a big takeaway of it, besides, you know, obviously dialogue and creating a safer environment for children.
Right, yeah. How did working on this series change your perspective on sex crimes and criminals and, you know, just people in general? You know, because there's always a big difference between knowing that the charming guy next door could be a serial killer and encountering that face to face on a regular basis. You know what I mean?
Well, it made me, obviously, I mean, you know, I've been a reporter since I was 18 years old and covered crime since I was 18 years old and done investigative reporting. So, you know, I tend to have a sort of a dark view of the world, I guess you could say at times, but to come face to face with it and realize that these guys, although some are creepy looking, they don't have the word predator tattooed across their forehead.
Right.
I mean, they like your average everyday guy you could be standing in line at the dry cleaners with. There were teachers, you know, there were doctors, there were, you know, military intelligence officers, you know, guys from all walks of life. And that was stunning to me that, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, a teacher from a private Catholic school in Cincinnati would get in his car and drive to Greenville, Ohio to meet, you know, a child and to interview this person. You know, my attitude in this whole thing and with every show that I do is not to jump out of the bushes and scare somebody. I mean, anybody can do that. You know, what I try to do is lock in, get inside these guys' minds, give them some respect, get their thinking on this, because if we can understand how their minds work, we can understand how to better protect, you know, our children.
What was the single, either scariest or most shocking moment that you had? And this is probably a very typical hacky question, but I am very curious about it.
It's a perfectly good question. And you know, it's probably about a 10-way tie for first. There were some that were scary for some reasons and some that were shocking for others. But the one that really stands out in my mind was a Sunday afternoon in Fort Myers, Florida. And it was the last person, you know, scheduled to show up in a very, you know, eye-opening investigation. And he pulls up in a SUV and he gets out of the car, and we're all watching this on the monitors, and he goes to the back door. And he opens the door, and we think, oh, he's going to grab pizza or beer or, you know, wine coolers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he leads his 5-year-old son out.
Oh, my God.
Gets him out of the car seat and walks with him hand in hand up the driveway.
What?
Now, these guys who work with me on these shows and are going to work with me on the new series have been with me in some of the darkest corners of the world and seen some of the most, you know, dramatic, dangerous stuff that we've done. A collective gasp came out. I mean, the one guy was in tears. So I have to figure out, okay, how do I handle this? You know, I'm not going to go after this guy in front of his kid. I mean, the kid's an innocent person.
Right.
And he's there to meet, you know, a 13 or 14 year old boy. So he walks in and I walk out. I said, look, I know why you're here. You know why you're here. You know, why don't you just get going? Now, the police are obviously going to arrest him. They're going to do it, you know, gently because of the child being there. And they're going to have to call the mom who's at work and all that. And he kind of looked at me and said, yeah, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. And he left. But it was just stunning that somebody would bring their child. And I don't think he was going to involve the child in a sex act. I think he was going to put the child in another room with a, you know, DVD and do what he wanted to do. But that blew me away. The other, the dangerous thing was in another investigation, we had wrapped for the night, and a guy who had been on the chat line with us for 4 or 5 days, particularly graphic, calls the decoy from a payphone. And, you know, we can't just race back and turn on the predator house. It's not one switch. You know, it's a lot that goes on there.
Yeah.
So ultimately, the police pull this guy over in a traffic stop, and he's got a .38 caliber in his pocket. He's got in his car an assault rifle, a shotgun, a .45 caliber pistol, hundreds of rounds of ammunition, handcuffs, chains, anchors, duct tape. I mean, just everything you can imagine. And it turns out that he himself was a police officer at a small town at the Alabama, Florida border. So, you know, what happened ahead, he walked in, you know, I tell people, you know, I think on that night, we may have dodged a bullet. Now, maybe he's just one of these crazy guys who lives out in the country and likes guns, but it gives you pause to think.
That is crazy. So what happens to the guys who, you know, the decoys are talking to, but don't actually go ahead and meet with the, you know, imposters, the
don't show up.
Right.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So probably, in my experience, 30 to 40% of the guys who chat don't show up. Depending on the nature of the chat, you know, you might get some guy who says, you know, I've thought about this, it's the wrong thing to do, you know, goodbye. Well, he's off the hook, you know. But in some cases, in some states, the actual law of soliciting a minor for sex online is broken during the chat. And if the chat log is used in evidence, it's a pretty strong case. Showing up is just, you know, what makes television, what makes, you know, makes it interesting to actually talk to this person, and it gives the police opportunity to arrest them after we finish our part of the investigation. But, you know, that becomes, you know, a judgment call on the part of law enforcement. I mean, you know, if somebody doesn't show up, we typically don't pursue them unless there's some extenuating circumstance.
How involved are you with the production? Now, obviously, you're the host of it, but I do believe that you are also behind the scenes as well.
Yes. you know, we started talking about, okay, what's the best way to produce this? And, you know, because so much of the interest was, you know, on social media, you know, I got talking to my people over at William Morris Endeavor, and they have a whole crowdfunding division now. And, you know, it was suggested to me that at least part of this could be funded by, you know, going to Kickstarter, which we did. And it's been a very successful campaign. I've learned a ton about how all this works. But it also gets the people involved, invested as, you know, fellow producers of the show. So it's been this great way to get this organic attention as to what we're doing. And it's really worked out well. In fact, you know, people still want to get involved. We're running it until Friday noon Eastern time, and they can go to Kickstarter.com and look under Stat Picks. It's a Hansen versus Predator. Or sometimes I think it's easier for people to go to like HansenVersusPredator.com, because we've it all set up there so they can click and go right to the links and get involved that way as well.
Very cool. I like that you guys have taken it to, you know, the masses as well to fund it.
We've given people the choice of, you know, funding it at any level. I mean, we've got people who have been big donors, and you know, we offer incentives, because that's only fair that somebody gets to take something away from it, whether it's, you know, a modest donor who gets a coffee cup or a Have a Seat t-shirt, or somebody who steps up a little higher, you know, where I may do a voicemail recording for their cell phone, or we're having, you know, director's chairs where people want to be involved. We're having a wrap party where people have exclusive access to the material before it goes out to the general public. And so, you know, those things are interesting for people, and people like to be involved in the process, and this allows them to do that.
That is really cool. So how do you guys intend on releasing the finished product? Will it be strictly web, or will you guys be also trying to market it on networks?
We're going to do both. So right now we're in discussions with a number of places. Initially, because, you know, you've seen the other investigations, you know, on average you have 17 to, you know, 25 people come in the door. Digitally, we'll put those into, you know, 3 to 4 minute segments. Will be edited. We'll also offer, you know, the raw interview, different levels of background. And then once we do all that digitally, we'll repackage that into broadcast, either 30 minute segments or 60 minute segments that will be distributed. We've had discussions, because I have another show going, Killer Instinct with Chris Hansen on Discovery ID. We talked to them. Obviously we'll approach the, you know, the people we think it would be best for, including, you know, some of the broadcast divisions that we see every day.
Right. Now, my co-host Kenny actually has a couple of questions for you. He's just been sitting here anxious. So go ahead, Kenny.
So, big fan. You're like, not like an idol, but like the person that I like. Okay, so I just had a daughter, and like everything's no go. Like,
right.
No bikinis, no pictures on Facebook of her naked, no nothing.
Yeah.
My question is, what is like the best step to make sure like she doesn't do any of that? Well, not she, but like let's say her mother or her grandmother, like they don't do any of that stuff, but at the same time, like let them have their free space where they could post any picture they want.
Well, I think you have to, you know, have an age appropriate conversation with your daughter, and you need to say, look, anything you put out there stays out there. Snapchat being out there for a matter of seconds, you know, somebody could do whatever they want with that. And you have to tell them, I think, that you shouldn't be communicating with people online who you don't know in person. Because that guy in the profile, the picture of that guy in a profile, who's a handsome-looking 12-year-old boy, could be a 56-year-old fat man sitting in his underwear in a basement someplace surrounded by empty pizza boxes. You know? So when you explain it that way, and kids don't like to be tricked. And so if you introduce the idea of, in a way that you say, there are people out there that are going to trick you. And you know, when I was growing up, my parents said, don't talk to strangers, don't take rides from strangers. Yeah. Good advice then, good advice now. The problem is, if they're talking to somebody they don't know in person, these guys are so good at grooming that the guy who could be a stranger on Tuesday will be their best buddy on a Friday. And suddenly, you know, gifts are showing up and smartphones and things. You know, if you're not on top of it, they can get away from you. I mean, you've seen the stories just like I had, entire high school. Where kids gotten caught up in trading, you know, racy pictures, and you know they're being used to extort sex from kids and, you know, all kinds of stuff that they shouldn't have to deal with. And then law enforcement comes in, And technically, some of this stuff violates child pornography laws. Are you going to prosecute a 15, 16-year-old kid? I mean, that wasn't the intent of the law, so it's really a conundrum. And it's something that you really just have to create awareness and have a constant dialogue and also be vigilant. I mean, I think there's no problem with telling your teenage kid or your preteen that, you know, look, you've got 2 hours on the internet every night. They'll get down to the business of you know, downloading music and having chats and figuring out stuff before they do their homework. The problem, of course, is, you know, I say that knowing that most kids have their smartphone on their bedstand, so they can text and do whatever they want all night. So, you know, you can't be afraid, I think, to be the bad guy once in a while or the disciplined guy once in a while and say, look, enough's enough, we're turning it off, and you can get it in the morning.
Okay. The next question, which is like, it's been boggling my mind since like I first saw your show back in high school. How did you come up with the concept to just like lure people in and just like be like, oh, you got to go, bro. You're trying to touch on little kids.
Well, it was in a conversation I had with a friend of mine who's also a reporter. And we got talking about the Perverted Justice Organization, the online watchdog group. And I started to think, well, if we could use, you know, their ability being decoys with our ability to wire a house with hidden cameras and microphones, it could be pretty compelling. And so I pitched it, and my bosses bought into it, and some smart producers weighed in and made the pitch even better. And we went out and did it the first time in Bethpage, Long Island. And I honestly was driving to the location thinking, all right, what if nobody shows up? And what if I've just wasted tens of thousands of dollars of the network's money? Well, with that, my producer calls and said, where the heck are you? Two guys are ready to show up in 45 minutes.
Wow.
And so we get there and it's just bang, bang, bang. And, you know, we had security and we take precautions, but, you know, it was our first time through it. So we have all these transcripts on a dining room table. And I get to the third guy and I bring the transcript that I think is associated with him. And I said, since right here you want to do this, that, the other thing with a 14-year-old named Suzanne. No, it's not me. Excuse me. Come back. A 12-year-old named Anna. No, excuse me. That's not it. Okay. A 13-year-old named Pat. Yeah, that's me. Okay,
oh, my right. God. Start
right. It was, that's how crazy it was in that first investigation.
All right. Well, we are running out of time. So why don't we just make this one last opportunity to plug the Kickstarter. Very excited to see this. It looks like it's doing really well. So I have no doubt it'll be funded.
Yeah, where people can get on it at Kickstarter.com by looking under staff picks, going for Hansen versus Predator, or go to HansenversusPredator.com, all one word. We have it all laid out on the page. We have instant links for people to get there, and it explains the whole thing. And we've been putting in like video updates and things like that, just let people know where we are. But we're in great shape. I think we're going to have a strong couple of days to close this out, and I can't wait to get out in the field and start shooting.
Excellent, excellent. Well, best of luck with the new project. I can't wait to see this.
Thank you.
Thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. All the best, man.
Keep up the good work.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take care.
Take care.
And that was Chris Hansen. Can you believe we just got off the phone with Chris Hansen? There is going to be a video up on YouTube as well. It was one way. He was on video with us so we could see him on Skype, but he couldn't see us because I just have shitty internet and it can't handle that kind of bandwidth.
So would you consider him a news reporter or like a celebrity?
Like a journalist?
Yeah.
I think he's a celebrity journalist. But not a journalist who reports on celebrities. Or maybe a journalist celebrity would be.
Maybe, you know what would be a good idea? Have him do a celebrity.
Dude, I was thinking that yesterday.
Yeah, like celebrity Chris Hansen versus the Predator.
Dude, here's what you can go about this two ways. You can either have the celebrity's guest star in the house be like, why don't you take a seat over here?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have them be lured in. Or it could be both.
Freaking.
You can have Gary Glitter coming in and fucking Shaq can be the Chris Hansen guy. It'll be good.
I was going to say Birdman comes through.
Birdman?
You ain't heard
Why?
Of him.
Why?
He potentially might be messing around with Young Thug.
Young Thug. Who? Hold on. Who is currently tied to Kylie Jenner? I think she's 17.
And Tyga? Then,
him. He should be the one that's alerted.
Didn't he go from one Jenner to another?
I don't know. They all hop around between, you know, it's just a mess over in that household. Those Kardashians, the Jenners, whatever.
I heard that the mom sleeping with one of her daughter's husbands or ex-husbands.
I don't like that this just turned into a celebrity gossip show about the Kardashians. Jeez.
Oh, no.
I think we're better than that.
I watched that show and I'm just like, why the fuck do you watch this show, Lizzie? Like, start watching something.
You get subjected to Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Oh, yeah, bro. Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Teen Mom. Dude.
Teen Mom.
No, it's
not
even.
Is that still on?
Yeah. No, listen. This is what the OG. Teen Mom OG.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Is that like the original crew of Teen Moms?
Yeah, but you don't call. Why would you call Teen Mom OG? That promotes gangster violence right there.
Well, they do have Teen Mom too.
Did they not? Dude, they got rid of Teen Mom too. It's just Teen Mom.
Then what's
OG.
The point? Just call it Teen Mom.
Yeah, like you think they do that, but they don't. They're just like, oh, we're going to try and sound hood with it. Teen Mom OG. Bunch of white girls. None of them in the hood. One drug addiction.
I like the original, like the first season of Teen Mom was actually pretty good. Yeah, I was in for that.
It's them.
But no, I'm talking about season one, like the ground floor.
Yeah.
You know, that was good. Everything else that followed, it was like, here's MTV's whole mission statement with that. It was like, oh, well, with this series, we're kind of opening the eyes of teenagers across America and why it's difficult to be a mom. And this is a serious decision that, you know, you should be more mature to have to make. But what happened was they wound up exploiting it and just flushed that to shit. You know, it was all garbage. It was bullshit.
You saw that meme that they made?
Maybe. I don't know. What was it?
It was like, okay, a chick back in the day looking at a pregnancy stick. She's like, oh, shit. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Present day, same chick looking at the pregnancy stick. Mom, call MTV. I'm about to be on Teen Mom. Like,
I think we need a new segment. Kenny reads memes.
Like, really, bro? You need to chill, dog. Like, it's just crazy how they're trying to do one thing, but they wind up doing the complete opposite. Cause like,
I think they know that too, and they're just being slimy fucks.
Yeah, the dude who like came up with the concept of Teen Mom. Did it all about to prevent child
right.
early pregnancy.
But what happens is the network gets involved. They have the rights to the program. And it's like, well, you know what? People are watching this. Why don't we make about, oh, I don't know, $20 million? You know, so it's just, it's an easy check. And they don't really think about the consequences. Or they do think about the consequences and they don't give a shit, which is more likely. Because
mm-hmm.
I find it hard to believe that these guys don't know what the effect of Teen Mom and all of its corresponding shows are.
Honestly, I feel like people like that won't know the repercussions that they've started.
They might be so far detached from everyday life that they just don't, you know, really take consideration of that, or they don't give a shit, you know? They don't encounter it day to day, but for the rest of us, you know, you got to be a little more responsible with how you're programming your network.
Like, I'm not ragging. I kind of rag on the show, but like I hate on the show too. But like my whole thing is, okay, you have four different moms. Two of them are like little good girls.
Mm-hmm.
One's a drug addict, and one used to do porn.
Farrah Abraham is still on there?
Yeah, she just got bought back or whatever. And then like that one chick, Macy, the blonde chick with the gauges, she went all ham talking about, oh, Farrah's back? I don't want to be on the show. Blah, 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 blah.
Wait, so now they're interacting with each other?
Yeah, dude, like they, like legit. The last episode Lizzie watched that I caught a glimpse of,
mm-hmm.
they flew those girls and their kids or whoever wanted to go out to New York and freaking... They did a little press release crap thing.
That's interesting.
One of the girls is dating like a recovering junkie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a recovering junkie herself. Like, well, when Lizzie started watching this shit and like, I was just looking out the corner of my eye. I was just like, yeah, junkie and a junkie go hand in hand together. Cause like,
I mean, look, if they're trying to recover together, fine. But you know, more often than not, I feel like that is just bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should take the Honey Boo Boo approach or the TLC approach rather, where they nixed that show as soon as they found out that
the
mom was dating that pedophile.
The dude who raped the daughter.
It brings it back to Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
Brings us right back to square one, Chris Hansen.
We should just talk about how amazing Chris Hansen is.
We should. He didn't have to come on the show and do 20 minutes with us.
But he did.
He's
awesome.
A lot better than that. And yet he decided, you know what? I'm going to shoot this shit with Jamie and Kenny today.
What a good man.
He's a good man, yes. Well, I think that's our cue to wrap up. Yep. So on that note, again, you can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Karelis. Like us on Facebook, /ShootinItPod.
Follow me on Instagram at KongLeftToBurn.
Yes. And that is the show for this week. We'll see you next week when we might have a guest, we might not. It all really depends on how things go. In any case, take care, folks. Thanks for listening.
I'm going to go take a shower.
3-5-0-1-2-5, go! I was there in the backstage when this light came around. I grew up not a changeling, but when the first time around, I could see all the weakness, I could pick all the faults. But I can see all the